Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Hello, welcome to episode 290 of See You Next Wednesday, a weekly pop culture and film podcast where a single die roll decides what movies we have to see. This episode drops on Wednesday, October 17th, 2017. My name is Dan Gorman. You got a very valid point, but on the other hand, shut up.
My name is Casey Lyons, and she's been drinking all day. I didn't think she should be driving home. I was right, too, because she crashed her car.
My name's Greg LeGros. I like my humping like I like my martinis. Dry.
Gandhi. We have tons of stuff to talk about this week. Two of us got to see whatever we wanted to see in Winner's Choice for Film Roulette, while one of us watched Werewolf.
Werewolf.
We will also talk about an album by Post Malone and roll for movies next week. We will also talk about stuff that we have been watching and doing this week. But before we get to any of that, you can email us your thoughts and comments at info@modernsuperior.com. Please remember to rate and review us on iTunes if you like what you hear. You can also go to modernsuperior.com and find our show amongst many other great shows such as A Frame Apart, Changing Reels, and more. Find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. And thanks for coming.
Yeah.
Hey, guys.
Hi. Hi, guys.
Casey's here.
Yay. I do have to say, though, I really enjoy a Casey-less episode.
Yeah?
That's great.
Nice.
I had a lot of fun listening to the last episode.
Yeah, it's like you get your own little bonus podcast when you're not here.
Yeah. But I was really bummed out because you guys were like, it was one of those ones where there was like a million times where I was like, oh, I have such a stupid joke for right now. Or also, oh, I have so many thoughts about Star Wars.
Yeah.
That was very difficult.
Do you have anything you want to throw in before we get to this episode?
Just that trailer made me cry a couple times, and I suspect the movie itself shall also make me cry several times. Everything about it, there's so much, and I really feel like it's going to be quite a departure is what I said.
Departure?
Yeah.
It's when you fart and you get out of here.
That is definitely a new term for when you crop dust somebody.
Departure.
Give them the old departure. It's when you fart as you leave a party.
Yeah.
No, it's going to be quite a departure. It's also a very red Star Wars movie.
Yeah.
Holy goodness.
Yeah.
That trailer itself is exhausting.
Oh, yeah.
And so beautiful and so... There's so many things going on.
Yeah.
I love new Star Wars so much.
Yeah, man.
Pretty so good.
As it continues to evolve into its own thing, and, you know, you've still got Luke in there and you've still got Leia and stuff like that, but I find myself not needing to rely on the old characters as much.
No, which is great.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really the struggle with making this work is not needing to worry about
that.
And that's the smartest thing that they could have done. Going like, hey, remember these characters that you love? This is still Star Wars. Mm-hmm. But then eventually building characters that are so strong.
Yeah.
Boy. Just
exciting.
So much stuff to feel.
Totally.
One thing I will say that I really didn't like.
Yeah.
Love the Porg. I'm a big Porg guy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But did you guys notice when it's Porg time in that trailer, Chewbacca's eyes move? He does like a little like eye widening thing, and it's just very subtle, but it's there, and it's CG, obviously. Mm-hmm. But it's kind of like Chewbacca's eyes don't move. Uh-huh. His mouth moves weirdly in a limited capacity because it's a hairy mask, but his eyes don't move. So don't do that. Don't start to make him a CGI character.
Do his eyes move at all in Force Awakens?
I don't think so.
I'll have to go back and watch.
Yeah.
Watch his eyes.
Looks like I'll have to watch it for a 50th time.
Yeah. How was your weeks?
Good weeks.
Good. So okay. Yeah. Busy. Yeah. Halloween coming up, creeping up halfway through October.
That's right.
Should we get into the itty bitty tidbit committee? Talk about movie news and things that we have been watching?
Yes, please.
Heck, yes.
All right.
Who wants to go first? Casey, you missed out last time. What have you been checking in on?
Well, guys, I have been watching nothing. I've been so busy. My family is currently in the process of relocating to a new and better living space.
Yeah.
And so that's been a big nightmare. We're also getting the kids into daycare right now as Myos comes off of maternity leave. Uh-huh. That's a whole other thing.
Daycare's a fucking thing, man.
It is a force in your life.
It's crazy. I mean, it's really good. It is very good when they're, you know, they feed, you get the little menu, you see what they're feeding them every day.
Yeah.
The
food, I hope.
The social skills and being in a group environment, that's invaluable.
That's another thing. We'll be walking down the street and Beatrice will see a little group of kids or whatever, or just a kid. And just in the most heartbreaking voice go, friends.
Oh, my God. Just and, like, reach out at them.
Yeah, like, literally, like, yeah. And I'm just like.
So your daughter's like a tragic character in a Don Bluth cartoon.
Yeah.
And I guess we're big, fat, evil kitties or something. Yeah. I don't even know.
That's how I describe you.
But he's like, wow, just big, fat, evil kitty, I guess. Although not as fat as he sounds.
But that's the thing. Like, Zoe has these friends. Which I think is bananas.
Yeah.
And like when we go to pick her up, they have like all the pictures on the bins where their hats and junk are, and all the kids' faces are on them. She'll point at them and tell us who they are.
Nice.
Which is adorable.
Yeah. Absolutely.
It's,
like, adorable.
It's crazy. She goes and has these experiences during the day, which also breaks my heart.
Like, that's
super
that's
weird that
thing.
She's off having this life that I don't know anything about.
Yeah. Yeah. She has a life outside of you.
Yeah. That's really messed weird, up. Man. But it's great. Like,
what if she's a different person? Like,
yeah,
what if she's,
I know. I wonder what
she's reinventing
like.
Herself.
I was like, I hope she's not like a dick. She's some bully or whatever. But apparently, she's very nice.
Yeah,
but all we hear is how much they like her. She's such a nice baby. She comes home and screams at us.
I like to think that once they get there, they all have their own little movie world where they're like hyper literate and they're just like, ugh.
Yeah.
Anyway, enough of that shit at home. You keep telling me to say Peppa, and I'm just like,
oh man, is my life a world of Peppa now.
Yeah. Peppa Pig.
I was really enjoying the Zoe only likes to watch the real Ghostbusters, but that's out the window now.
Yeah.
I don't know that she'll ever watch them again because it's all Peppa Pig.
No, but she will watch Peppa forever.
Forever. Yeah. She fucking freaks out when we put it on. She freaks the fuck out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a powerful, powerful drug.
Yeah, and there's so many toys.
Yeah.
I'm already down. I'm fucked. This is it. You know how many Peppa toys I have in my house? Of just the character Peppa?
Yeah.
Not the other stuff. Yeah. There are 5 Peppas upstairs
nice.
Right now.
Nice.
For her second birthday, I think we bought Beatrice this big bouncy house, a Peppa bouncy house.
Mm.
And she was
sweet.
So fucking into it. She so loved it.
Yeah.
And she was like wandering around and looking at it like going, Susie! I don't remember. Zoe! Because those are the names of the thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a tortoise. Named Tittles. Mm-hmm. And she's like, and she just looked and she went, oh, Tittles.
Oh, like Tittles.
Hey, they got one of these.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty
yeah I was getting mad buying Peppa stuff. I bought like school and the family and her friends and stuff. And I'm like, they keep making, like, they fuck you when, you know, then you're buying the same shit over and over.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because I have 5 Peppas, but they're all a little bit different. one school Peppa with like letters on her shirt.
Got a new hat.
Family Peppa with a little frill on her dress. Then there's just normal Peppa with just red, and then a stuffed Peppa, and then a Peppa stuffed Peppa fairy.
I love stuffed Peppas.
Yes. Yeah, roasted stuffed
Peppas.
Then
I was like, look at this shit. But I was like, yeah, I had like 8 different versions of Luke Skywalker.
Yeah. Like seriously,
I had the
and I needed them all.
Yes, and they were all unique and important.
Yeah, listen. I had a Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles toy that was Raphael dressed up as Babe Ruth.
Oh.
So
that is weirdly specific.
They made some fucking editions of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I don't know why. It had a little T-ball set up, and he had a baseball bat, and you like twisted his like top body and then pressed a button and he would fling it and then it would
top
hit the
body.
Baseball.
Yeah. Top body.
Upper torso.
Doctor, I'm having an issue with my top body.
Top body. We've got to operate on your top body immediately. Stat, if you will.
Worry about your bottom later.
Yeah.
Strap down his
bottom body. Shut down bottom body. We're going into the top body. We're going top body on this guy.
Top body territory.
So let me ask you this. I don't mean to put you on the spot. What's your go-to Luke? There's so many Luke toys. I think more Lukes than Hans.
Toys?
Yeah. What was your go-to Luke? Who's
you know
your favorite
funny?
Luke?
I think for me, my favorite Luke is Flight Suit Luke.
Nice.
Orange Flight Suit. Nice. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's dynamite. Explain
just
Luke.
Dynamite because yeah. he's got the helmet, which is great.
Yep, super cool.
And the orange jumpsuit thing, which
is
I would have
awesome.
Worn to school
yeah.
every day.
Fucking literally. Yeah, yeah.
I think that's the one that really stands out in my mind.
I think Flight Suit Luke is my number two Luke.
Yeah.
Yeah. I go with tan jumpsuit Luke.
Tan jumpsuit.
Yeah, like
Luke.
The beige kind of all onesie. It's almost like a I don't know what the fuck. It's from Empire.
Okay.
Strikes Back?
Huh?
Or the show Empire?
Yeah.
With Terrence Howard.
You know Terrence Howard was Luke?
Oh, yeah.
In his PJs?
It was a Halloween episode.
All yeah. Oh, right.
Or beige, I guess, is the color I want.
I
beige?
Don't know if I can.
You do.
I'm sort of picturing.
I'm bringing up a picture right now.
So what you're saying, though, is outside of this, you watched nothing.
except for I did watch, I want to talk just a tiny little bit about.
Okay.
I watched the SNL with Kumail.
Okay.
And oh god, it just was so wonderful.
Yeah,
it
I didn't
was
see
so
it.
Wonderful.
You said the monologue was great on Twitter.
The monologue was fucking excellent because
nice.
You know when a stand up goes on,
they can
kind of
put their own. Yeah,
and so he just did some stand up, and
nice.
it was just fucking premium Kumail.
Nice,
and the delivery was great, and he was having such a good time.
Yeah, that's like
it wasn't just like. Well, this is good for my career or whatever,
yeah.
which it was.
It was
great
like, no, this
career.
Is my dream.
Yeah, and I'm just going to have so much fun with it. And it came across and it was wonderful.
Beige Suit Luke.
Oh, Beige Suit Luke is great.
Yeah.
Super for sure.
Good. Yeah.
Little beige.
Yep.
It is a little
bit
beige.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, I need to check in on the, like, I know that they put the It spoof up, and I haven't watched that yet.
Oh man,
yeah,
it's
gotta watch that.
It's really fun. It's fun, and like the concept is fine and everything. But Kate McKinnon's Pennywise, because I did see a little bit of Pennywise, and especially that scene in the sewer, and it's like her talent is very very vast.
Yeah,
because she's doing three things. She's doing a dead on Pennywise.
Yeah.
You know, from the movie, she's also doing a pretty dead on Kellyanne Conway.
Yeah.
And she's also, but aside from those things, being hilarious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like sometimes there's like, oh, that's a dead on thing, but you know, it's not that funny. It's just,
Farrell.
But she's doing all of these things effortlessly.
Yeah.
Yeah. She flips me out.
Yeah. She's amazing. Yeah. That clip is awesome. I've seen it a couple times now.
Oh my God. So
and
funny.
Well, the production value is enormous on it.
Oh, yeah. Ever since Lonely Island, they put a lot of money
into
those digital
shorts.
Like,
really, that's a very good-looking little bit there.
Yeah.
Yeah, pretty nice.
Let me ask you this, Casey, because you were going to talk about this, I think, a couple episodes ago, and we decided to defer until some more people had seen it.
Mm-hmm.
You brought up Big Mouth the day or two it premiered, and I had seen none of it. And now I've seen all of it. Have you seen more of it?
I've seen everything, I think, except for the last episode.
Okay. Have you watched any of this?
Mm-mm.
Okay. So this is the Nick Kroll Netflix show.
4 or 5 people tell me I'm supposed to start immediately.
Yeah. So
here's
the thing.
Dan said the word defer, and then I started thinking about, DeCat has defer.
I can see why you got sidetracked. So that's see, very funny.
You see where I went from that.
Here's my take on Big Mouth. I initially was not sure about it, but now that I've seen all of it, I really like it.
I fucking love it.
It's really, really fucking great.
It's amazing, and it's also like it's very gross and but that's the thing. It should be gross, but it's kind of not gross.
Yeah,
there's an episode where Jason Mantzoukas's character fucks his pillow the whole time. That's gross.
The episode, there's an episode with the pillow where they do like a pregnancy episode with the pillow.
That's the one I'm talking about.
I don't like that episode. I felt like that was the one episode where, because the whole show is very like, we're doing the, you know, preteen kind of like puberty show. And we're going to kind of be a bit fantastical with it because it, in the world of the show, there are these hormone monsters. But I felt like that was the one where it was like, and now we have to do this pregnancy show. But to do it, it'll be kind of like a dream episode. And I just kind of felt like the whole thing. And I didn't think that one was that funny. I felt like it was the one
just
dud.
Like, yeah, it was kind of like, no, I see how in the writer's room you were like, what this if is, he breaks his pillow and then this happens? He's like, yeah, but then when you actually put it up, it's
Felt like it was the one episode that I was like I was just kind of totally checked out. But every other episode I thought was really, really great.
You know what I thought was a great episode was the one where, what is the character's name? And she's named after the woman
who plays her, Jenny Slate?
No, she's like the main girl.
Yeah.
Jesse Klein.
Yeah.
Where she gets her period for the first
time. Oh, yeah. It was so good.
I think that episode was really funny.
The thing about the show is there are times where it's gross to the level of me being like, fucking, okay, come on. There's like some moments where you're like, that is fucking gross or too far or really, really offensive for offensive's sake.
Yeah.
But like 99% of the time when the show is funny, it is fucking
it's
funny.
So funny, but also again surprisingly sweet.
Yeah,
like it does a really good job of like of kind of going like these are the gross parts of you know of adolescence, but we all did them and we were all, you know, shamefully you know, involved in these things, and they can also be very funny and also very kind of heartwarming to see kids, because these kids are, some of the kids are pretty, you know, two-dimensional, but you know, for jokes or whatever, but the main core characters are pretty fleshed out.
And I think it comes down on the right side of treating these topics with like reverence and honesty and being able to do the really disgusting dick jokes or whatever, but then also be like the relatable moments. Yeah. And that's why I think that episode where she gets her period for the first time is so funny, but also so like, oh, okay. Like, no, they're also treating the period episode on like a teen kind of thing, but they're doing it well. And they're like treating the genre with like care. Like you can tell that they've talked about it on a podcast where it's like, we wanted to do that kind of show. And you can tell that like there was a love for that kind of show as well as let's also be hilarious, which is like Kroll did that with like the Wheels Ontario thing, which was hilarious, but was also like, but you've watched this show, you get it.
Like, you know, every little thing that, and like the little subtle, like subtle Canadian things.
Yeah.
It is pretty great.
Yeah. I think it's one of the better things Kroll's been involved in.
Hilarious as Gene Kremer's.
Yeah. Yeah, and Maya Rudolph as the woman hormone monster is fucking so funny.
So
she
good.
Is
it's such a like
unbelievably good.
From from like the just voice talent alone.
Yeah.
Like her choices are fucking amazing.
She just says things in the most funny way that you could, on top of it just being like written funny too.
Yeah.
Crazy. I liked it a lot.
It's great.
Yeah. It's great. Big Mouth. Check it out.
Okay.
It's pretty hilarious.
Oh, well.
Yeah. What have you been watching?
Oh, also, somebody was like, the ghost of Duke Ellington is my new favorite character of all time. And yes, I absolutely
pretty good.
Agree with that. Oh, my God. What a fucking great thing to add to a show.
Greg?
What?
How about you?
Let's see. Two things real quick.
Okay.
First thing, like, super quick, because I'm just going to say that I'm watching it and recommend it. I've been watching the Ken Burns Vietnam War.
I hear that's series. A fucking thing to watch.
Wow! Yeah, it's 10 episodes, and I've only seen one and, like, a quarter, and I'm just, it's just fascinating. And it just, it's great. It's like, if you're a fan of Ken Burns stuff, you know that it's going to be detailed and cover things. Like, so episode one starts in like 1858. You know, like they get the fuck into it. Like this is what leads everything to this going on. It's just fascinating and tragic and frustrating. Must watch.
I need to watch that. Yeah.
Anyway, so we'll talk about it later when we've all seen it, and maybe when I finished all 10 episodes. So anyway, just
maybe we'll do a super hilarious Ken Burns series on the Patreon.
And then the other thing that I've been watching a bunch of, and I've almost finished the first season, is One Mississippi.
Oh, nice!
You've almost watched the first.
Almost finished the first season.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Based on Casey's recommendation. Yeah. And good Lord, that's an amazing show.
Holy shit.
It's, that's some serious shit. Yeah.
What do you think of Bill?
Amazing. What a performance.
What a fucking performance. Yeah. It's crazy how good he is.
Yeah.
And the second season, like, oh my God, I can't wait till you're there.
Yeah.
Because it's very, very, relevant to society today and sort of I don't want to say too much more about it, but and Bill's performance and the way they've written Bill in season two is so fucking wonderful.
Yeah, it's a hell of a show. It's extremely for being something seems like the new comedian model to do a show is play yourself doing kind of what you do, but let's be a little serious too. It's just such head and shoulders, content wise and performance wise above most things, and it doesn't feel like another thing echoing, you know, Louis show or all the countless other ones that have rolled through this, or you know, like Marin's and stuff.
Yeah,
which, you know, it kind of it's lost a bit of its, like you got people have to think of something else.
but this comes along,
and I'm like, well, this is something else because this is so intensely human and dramatic, but still funny.
Still so funny, but the comedy is the comedy sort of happens along the way.
Yeah.
Of these sort of important issues, and it's not like message,
or anything like that.
It's just, and even season two, where there's a lot more content like that, like there's a lot more socially relevant things brought up. It's still not like message.
Yeah.
Like it's just,
and that's hard to do.
It's responsible and it speaks louder than any sort of like, you know, shrill message in your face possibly could.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Yeah.
I love Tig so much. She is the fucking
best. She's incredible.
It's funny because you kind of go like, well, to say like Tig Notaro is hilarious or like is such a great comedian seems trite because she's so much more than that.
Yeah. And I'll just tack two other things onto that. As we're talking about comedians, I did watch two comedy specials.
Sweet.
I watched Michael Shea Matters.
Nice. Oh, that is a good fucking special.
That is really funny. The first half hour, 40 minutes, is just out of the park over and over and over again. It gets a little loose at the end and not quite as great, but whatever, it's still great.
It almost feels like Michael Shea on Update.
Yeah.
Because eventually he's a little loose.
Yeah.
And that's what makes it so great, because Colin Jost is very, you know, buttoned up and everything. Yeah. And then Che is more conversational. Yeah.
But he hits the ground running so amazingly in that special. It's like you will laugh fucking hard 30 seconds in.
Like, and you know what I like too, that he's like, look, I mean, I'm this way. I'm not going to pretend that I'm 100% perfect socially speaking.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I'm kind of a dick about some things, but I know I'm a dick about those things. Yeah. It's just, you know, how I was raised.
Yeah.
And I guess I really appreciate that honesty.
Yeah. Like, it's handled well.
Yeah.
Super funny. It's a great special. And I watched, I guess it's the most recent Jim Jefferies. I don't remember the name of it.
I can't get into Jim Jefferies.
Here's the thing, and I found this with this one too. When he is talking politics and social stuff of that nature, he's great.
Yeah, I would say that he's better really at that than funny. He is at.
Yeah, and then he goes into the other stuff. I'm like, don't do rape jokes, or don't do a bit about not feeling the need to apologize for rape jokes.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you're just No one needs them.
and also because it's just, it's not that funny.
No, it isn't.
Well,
it isn't. Yeah. And it's, so it's frustrating. His whole thing is frustrating. It's like, just won't let this one part of his act go. That's dated and clumsy and boring. And then he does this other shit that's really thoughtful, really fucking sharp, and genuinely witty.
Yeah.
And it's he's a frustrating comedian. I wish he would just stop being a fucking dink.
Is there an element of, like, I gotta hold on to this because it's not allowed anymore? Is that what it is?
I feel like there's a lot of that with some comics.
Yeah, that's what I feel like.
No!
Yeah. How about this?
I think there's an element with him. I think it's more like, because he's Australian, right?
Yeah.
In Australian comedy, there is still a certain amount of, like, shock value. Like, there's a certain amount of integrity behind shock value.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Just in the sort of comedy scene in Australia. And I think it's a different thing there. Like, I think it's just regarded differently than it is here or in the States. So it comes across as, like, whatever, here. But there, it's, like, a genuine thing.
Right. Anyway.
Anywho.
It's, yeah. There's a big chunk in it that's just so good. But I don't know. Start, if you decide to watch it, I would say start about 15 to 20 minutes in. Just zip ahead a little bit.
Yeah.
I feel like I'll skip it. Yeah, yeah. I feel like he's just somebody that I'm like,
yeah. Or you probably see the best clips on YouTube.
Yeah.
That's all you need. Yeah. So that's that stuff.
Nice.
What about you, old man Daniel?
I've been continuing on the October path,
nice.
Watching some
Mr. October
horror movies and such. I did a revisit on Creepshow, which had been a number of years.
Sweet.
Listen, I love that movie. Yeah.
I've been meaning to do that lately.
I also think it's much too long.
What do you think could have been gotten rid of? Stephen King is a Moss Man.
No, I love that.
Definitely not.
Definitely not.
I think he's amazing. He's
so good in that. He's so good bad.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's...
No.
It's awful.
No.
Like...
Yeah. No, it's real. That's a really great segment.
I love it.
Honestly...
It's awful.
The one with Ted Danson and the tide is great, but...
It's fucking
it is.
Great.
Fucking stretched out so long. It's like a good, like, 15 minutes, 20 minutes of just getting him into the like hole and up to the neck.
The high points of it are so good.
But like, you could really just be like, this is what's happening. Like, you know what's happening.
I like
that.
It because I think it feels measured.
No, so, watch
something
it again.
About it feels
there's
integral.
There's like 20 minutes. There's like 10 minutes of them just in there with the water splashing on their faces, and you're like, okay. This is not tension anymore. It's just you're showing water splashing on their face for 10 minutes.
Imagine how wet your face would be, Dan.
It's a great segment, too, but it's like, holy shit, when is this going to get to the like point? I just think it drags on. It's like just over 2 hours. It's a great movie anyway. The direction
is because you're
so
just
good.
Waiting to see Ed Harris dance?
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
It's a weird
you get that right
does.
Away.
Yeah,
you get
right,
that right away.
Weird dancing.
Yeah. The direction in that movie is so good. The comic book stuff is just
oh, man. Yeah,
yeah, so
yeah, yeah. Tom Atkins is the angry dad. So great.
Yeah. So yeah. I did that, and I did a couple anthology movies, but I wanted to just circle back here and say, well, not circle back because I haven't talked about it yet, but I watched Tales from the Hood for the first time.
All right.
Mm-hmm. That movie... I do not understand why people haven't been telling me to watch Tales from the Hood my entire life because it is fucking awesome.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't think I've
so
seen Tales from
good.
The Hood.
It is so good. Oh my God, watch Tales from the Hood. It is amazing. It is everything you want from an anthology film, plus as like a horror movie that is like tackling social issues. It's so relevant still. Tons of it are still relevant. Like the first segment has Wings Hauser as like a cop, and it's about like targeting black people for no reason, and like the revenge that happens from beyond the grave. There's a segment about like child abuse. It's like this is a anthology that is like here are the horrors of real life filtered through like the anthology fun horror craziness.
Interesting.
It's entertaining. It's funny. Mm-hmm. I loved it. I went bonkers for it.
All right.
Tales from the Hood is great.
Great.
Oh, man. I had such a good time. Please watch Tales from the Hood this Halloween. It's so good.
Okay.
It's got everything you want.
Everything you want.
Everything you want.
Yeah.
What else from you guys?
Casey, you got anything else, guy?
One thing really quick. I was doing a thing. You know the thing you do where you sit, you've got a couple minutes, so you sit on YouTube and watch old commercials from the 80s?
Sure. I do that all the time.
I was doing that. And they had one. There's a bunch of commercials and stuff. And then one was like a commercial for a newscast, you know, coming on. So they were like recapping the news or what's coming up on the news. And this lady, I was like, boy, verbiage sure has changed since the 80s. Because this lady was like, a missing girl is still missing or something. She is believed to be mentally ill. And retarded.
Yeah.
Oh, and she says it like that. Wow. She goes, mentally ill and retarded.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy.
I'm like, oh, my goodness. Because you could, I mean, you know, you go to the root of the word retarded and it you know, means a certain thing.
Yeah. Sure.
But sort of society has made it a horrible word.
Yeah.
But yeah, wow. When you hear that on the news, you're just like, my goodness.
Wow, yeah. I watched the Geraldo. Geraldo did a thing in the 70s where he did like an investigation into this like
Al Capone's vault.
Hospital where they were keeping like challenged children in really, really terrible conditions. Mm-hmm. And that is all they say in that thing. Just like hard R all through it. And it's like, whoa, please stop. It's fucking not okay.
Yeah, it's crazy. Yeah. Well, but that's the thing is that it was.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
Like it was, that was the word.
Yeah.
Because it was just this blanket thing of like, oh, well, they're all retarded. You know, like that's the blanket classification.
It was like the medical definition or whatever they wanted to say. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
they're developmentally retarded.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ooh.
Times.
Mm-hmm.
Greg, what about you?
Well, I watched a movie.
Okay.
I watched a movie called Brawl in Cell Block 99.
Oh, shit. Yeah.
I got to see
new,
that.
Vince Craig, Vaughn, Craig Zoller.
Yeah.
Yeah, Craig.
What? Sorry. The director of Bone Tomahawk.
Vince Vaughn.
Vince Vaughn. Don Johnson.
Played at TIFF to big reviews. People loved it.
So it's the plot is a former boxer. They don't really get into that too much. Like his boxing was like a long time ago. He's a guy who gets laid off, starts working and being kind of like a wheelman for a drug lord, and then a deal goes bad and he winds up in prison and. And then is given kind of an ultimatum that he needs to see through.
Mm-hmm.
Let's leave it at that. And so no one, you guys haven't seen this?
No,
I want to watch it. I'm going to ASAP.
Yeah,
it's a really hard movie to talk about.
Just use your words.
There's a movie in this movie that I absolutely fucking loved. There's also problems with this movie because it's a little too long.
It's like over 2 hours, right?
It is. But it's like the length almost needs to be there because if you don't spend all the time with some of this stuff, then it just is some dumb exploitation punching in the face movie. But it's I probably the best thing Vince Vaughn's ever done from a performance standpoint.
Sweet.
He's incredible in it. His best thing since Swingers. Like when you, I know it's been like, you think it's like, I don't know, Swingers is not mocked, but you know, the catchphrases and everything forever. Yeah. But when you first saw Swingers, the very first time, you were like, who the fuck is that guy?
You're like, that guy is awesome.
Yeah, totally. So the promise of like this, like the, all that charisma and like, what could this guy do? This is a completely different character. I was like, wow, that's just Vince Vaughn acting. And he's really, really good at it.
Nice.
And he's super fucking intimidating in this movie, too. So it takes its time with stuff. It's brutally violent.
Yeah, I've heard it's pretty intense.
Yep, which I was 100% prepared for after Bone Tomahawk.
Yeah.
Is there a moment?
There's nothing quite like that moment, no.
Then perhaps I can watch it.
Yeah, yeah. There's a couple of things though that were like, whoa!
I've heard the phrase I've heard is head stomping.
That's a thing.
Like that.
Yeah,
but it's some of the violence is it gets almost a little absurd, but it's okay. not out of place yeah. at all. And there is this thing where, like, I kept on wondering, like, if this movie's just tiptoed a little bit into a John Carpenter Assault on Precinct 13 kind of, not campiness, but genre, like, just lean into yeah. it a bit. I don't know if it would help it or not, or if it would take away the validity of this yeah. character's journey. It's kind of a weird one to talk about, because the mistakes in filmmaking here are present and easy to see, but the magic of this movie,
yeah.
the things that it works really well. There's a baby coming down the stairs.
There is, but I only saw tiny little feet at first, and I was like, she's escaped.
That's it.
See you now. Slowly yeah, walk she's away.
Up the stairs.
She's like, oh, are they podcasting?
Cool. Yeah. So what happens down here?
Yeah. So like, I thought sweet. R-rated movies were going on down here. Yeah. It's just a bunch of idiots talking.
It's just about dummies talking about R-rated movies.
Yeah.
So, because I don't want to say too much, because you should just go, because I didn't,
yeah.
I think I saw maybe a trailer for this. I don't know if I did.
Mm-hmm.
So I would definitely say watch this movie. I recommend it.
Okay.
But it's a bit of a warts and all kind of thing.
Yeah.
But it's nicely shot. Zoller's a good director.
Yeah.
There's some good script in here. There's some average script. But Vince Vaughn is great. Don Johnson's good in it too. Jennifer Carpenter's great in it.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's but I want to, yeah, watch it so I can talk to somebody about it.
Because okay.
I feel like I can't really, I need to talk. We
in
need to have a conversation
depth.
About this
yeah.
movie. And to the listeners, too, get a chance
check
to watch
it,
and then we'll all talk about it.
Totally.
Or we'll talk about it, and we'll know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
All right.
But yeah,
right.
it's definitely stuck with me. I keep okay. thinking about it.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Brawl and Cell Block 99?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Did you have anything else, Casey, before I jump back in?
No, I think I'm good.
Okay. This will be really quick. I watched a movie purely because it came into my possession on VHS that I would have never, taken the time to seek out. But how do you guys feel about the Amityville films?
Oh, well,
mostly garbage,
them.
Right?
Mostly not very good.
Yeah.
Yeah, like the original's the classic.
But you go back and watch it; it's fucking
boring.
It's
pretty boring.
Yeah. There's a new one that tried so hard to get into theaters.
Yeah,
I saw a trailer.
There's a
another new one after the Ryan Reynolds
new.
One.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Yeah, this one literally just came out.
Oh. Like it, they tried to put it in theaters. I saw a
it was
trailer
like
four years ago, ages ago.
Yeah.
And then they were like, "Oh, we can't do it. It sucks too bad."
Yeah.
And then they tried to put it out again for some, and then they were just like, "Just put it on." Fucking.
Yeah. It.
What's the one with like the incest brother and sister weirdness? And it's like the third one. It's the 3D one.
Yeah.
It always tricks you in the video store when you were a kid.
It had the hand coming out.
It has the hand coming out, but you flip it
monster.
Over on the back, and there's some like fucking monster coming out of this thing in the basement. You're like, yeah, fucking monster movie. It's like one shot at the end of the movie.
Yeah.
It's nothing. It's instead it's these. I don't really remember the movie,
yeah.
but I'm pretty sure it's a brother and sister trying not to fuck each other.
Okay. Well, here's the thing. That's weird because there is a brother-sister thing going on in this movie at one point. But I will also say about Amityville 3D is that the cover of it was like Amityville and then in huge like letters 3D and then
yeah.
the hand was coming
out
of the thing at you
yeah.
and then there was tiny
yeah.
fine print, not actually in 3D because this is a home video version. Just call
good.
It Amityville 3 then, I guess,
yeah,
at that
yeah,
point.
That's fine.
So I watched Amityville 1992.
3D,
it's about
the
time.
The T is for disappointment.
Yeah.
You'll be disappointed three times.
By the beginning, middle, and end of this film.
Oh, yeah. So Amityville : it's about time is this one.
About time for what?
For this movie.
This movie's about time.
Yeah.
Oh, the movie's about time. Yeah. Not
here's
like,
the thing.
It's about time for this haunted house.
Yeah, here's the thing. Not only is this movie about time, because it's about a clock from the Amityville house gets
yes.
sent to this new house, but
oh,
also
boy.
Somebody at the end of this movie goes, it's about time. And I like stood up and clapped alone at home. Like, yes! It's like the last line. So this movie, yeah, it's about like an old clock that dad brings it home.
I love movies about clocks.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Older the better.
Yeah.
I'll say.
Yeah, an old clock. Okay. Here's the thing. Amityville 1992.
It's 2019.
The time flew by. This movie is awesome. It's so much fun. If you like 90s ridiculous horror movies that also happen to have effects by KNB, you will like this movie. It's a lot of fun. It's like the clock comes home and then like this little like drill comes out of it and it like burrows, like it like starts to like ground itself in the house and start causing crazy shit from happening.
Right.
And the crazy shit that happens is awesome. And there's some really great like goopy effects, and it's just a lot of really ridiculous acting and ridiculous scenes.
When you say goopy effects, like Hellraiser goopy, or
I don't want to say Thing because I'll get you really excited, but yeah. More like body horror goopy things. Yeah. Like not so much like oh people are getting eviscerated, but like the dad gets like so that the clock starts making weird things happen, and well, the first weird thing that happens is the dad just gets attacked by a dog, and then that like makes him sick, and his leg starts like getting this huge wound on it, and it's like dripping and shit. It's like disgusting. There's also another scene where the sister basically under the skins a guy. She's like, come over here, and then he gets stuck in this black goo, and he gets sucked into the black goo, and I was like, this is under the skin!
Oh my God, under the skin stole from Amityville?
Yeah.
Nice.
But there is a part, at the end of the movie where, like, the sister has been, like, taken over by the Amityville clock, and she's, like, trying to seduce the brother.
She's like, hey, everybody, it's 3:40. Yeah.
Ding dong.
I'm haunted by a clock.
Yeah. Trust me, like, if you want a late night overlooked horror movie that's just a bunch of ridiculousness, Amityville 1992, It's About Time, will totally do the trick. It's
sounds
hilarious and very entertaining. And every once in a while, a cool effect happens because K&B knew what they were doing back in the day.
Yeah.
You should check it out
great.
If you like this
I've
stuff.
Never had anyone ever tell me that I
this,
should check out an
this
Amityville
movie. This is the Amityville movie.
Is
this
it?
Is like the first one is like the trying to be serious, but is totally fucking boring and sucks now when you go back to it. And then all the sequels are pretty much garbage. Apparently, there's one called The Next Generation or The New Generation or something after this one that has some hilariousness to it, but this is the sequel you want. You don't need to know anything else except for this clock is evil and it's hilarious.
Hey, you had me at this clock is evil.
Yeah, definitely check it out. If
and
you like
a new generation, this stuff. 3.7 on IMDb.
Oh, that's not bad.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. Yeah. So that's what I got.
Cool.
Anything
I'm
else
done.
From you? No?
No, nothing.
Casey, no?
Nah, Mike.
Casey, no.
Casey, no.
No.
Yeah.
To be fair, I was getting up on the table.
Well, then I guess.
It when you do that.
Yeah. No, get down, Casey. I guess that means it's time for Film Roulette, then?
I guess that's it.
First time for Film Roulette, then? Film Roulette is our weekly segment where the three of us roll a die and the two high rollers get to go see something good. This week, the two high rollers got to go and watch whatever the hell they wanted to because they were winners because it was a winner's choice week. The loser had to stay at home and watch 1995's Werewolf sans Mystery Science Theater 3000. You had to raw dog werewolf and just fucking watch this bullshit alone.
Damn, did you fuck that movie?
Oh, man. Something got fucked because this movie is the worst. Anyway, spoiler alert.
Yeah.
The low roller gets to give the winners an album to listen to for the rest of the week. Greg gave us an album by Post Malone. We'll talk about that Stony album after we talk about our movies. As I mentioned, it was winner's choice. What did you guys check out? Do we have a watched the same thing accidentally on our hands?
Maybe.
Are we going to do a countdown thing as we have done before? Do you guys think that it maybe happened?
I don't think so.
Okay.
Don't think so.
So then how do you want to organize this?
All right. Well, Gregory, why don't you go first?
Why don't I go first?
Yeah.
Okay.
The name of your film is?
The name of my film? totally thought I was going to see Florida Project.
Yeah.
But nope. Went out to the theater and saw Happy Death Day.
Oh
that's so interesting.
This is the new horror film. This is a Blumhouse film from 2017. It was directed by Christopher B. Landon. This is
where he be landed.
Where he be landed.
Christopher, where you be landed? You get down here, Christopher. You be landing right now.
I'm picturing the guys that like you have the things on the runway. You're like, you be landing over here. Over here. Point you over here. A college student relives the day of her murder over and over again as she tries to discover her killer's identity. Starring Jessica Roth, Israel Broussard, Ruby Modine, Rachel Black, and others, getting 3.1 out of 5 on Letterboxd currently. This is a PG-13 or 14A horror movie, not a hard R horror movie.
No.
Which I know I saw people being like,
there was not a hard R in the house.
Yeah. But I'm always of the mind of the idea of saying a movie is going to suck based on its rating is dumb.
Yeah, like we were talking about Christine. And based on the horror or the blood value in Christine, it wasn't going to be rated R. But so they said, fuck a bunch.
A bunch, yeah.
Yeah. And Christine's a terrific movie. I mean, I know, like, trailers, it was like, obviously, we've taken Groundhog Day and Scream and thrown it in a blender, and here we go. I'm not really worried about that, drawing those comparisons.
Yeah.
It's fine. I don't think you can only have one movie ever that had the repeating day thing. I think you can.
Yeah.
It's fine. It's an interesting concept. People can try
and
do things with it. It's okay. And I just wanted to go out to the theater and see a
time.
Fun horror movie in October. It seemed like the right thing to do. Is this movie good? Absolutely not. Did I enjoy watching it? A little bit.
Yeah.
It's okay.
All right. I've heard a lot of like, this is fun, and a lot of fuck this movie.
There's no fuck this movie.
Yeah.
Don't fuck this movie.
Yeah.
Dan,
listen.
You seem to be fucking every movie you see these days.
It's fine. I don't know. Like, watch it sometime, maybe. I don't think I'll watch it. I won't watch it again. There's no way. But it was just like, I don't know. It was fun to go just see a horror movie that had some budget and had some push.
Yeah.
And it's lively.
Yeah.
It's got, like, they're having a good time with making this kind of fun horror movie, and they know they're making a fun one. Obviously, it's not super gory. This movie really would have benefited from gore. Because the people aren't interesting. So when the kills are boring too or aren't memorable, it's just a little flat. And it's like the Groundhog Day thing, if you're going to do that, if you're going to do very much the Bill Murray journey of like, here's a piece of shit, and then they eventually learn how to be a good person, you have to be really lucky with who's starring in that movie. Because when Bill Murray is being a dick, you're like, ha-ha!
This guy.
Great, this guy. What a dick. So good. So this actress is then charged with the task of being like a shitty, vapid person who kind of learns a little bit, but not a whole lot. And it's just, but the charm and wit and all the other things that when you're a comedy legend, maybe not everyone has.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hard to care about anybody. But whatever, I didn't go to this movie expecting to care about people.
Yeah.
But it's just, I don't know, it is what it is. Put it on Netflix, but you don't need to go to the theater for this.
So is it like, is the mystery of her trying to figure it out what drives the movie?
Because she figures out that she's reliving the same day and that she's getting killed at the end of it. We have a new entry into Mask Killer.
Okay.
You know, that weird baby face guy.
Yeah.
Not bad. It's a good look.
Yeah.
But it's lacking punch because it's not as funny as Groundhog Day, obviously. Mm-hmm. And it's not as genuinely a horror movie as, that's not fair. Or not as violent or scary as Scream was when it came out. And like Scream, so many sequels and whatever, and it is what it is. But when it first came out, it was so fresh, so good.
Oh,
it's totally
I love the
rewatchable.
First Scream.
And they do the what makes it work is because it is just a guy with a dumb mask and a knife. But the stabbing in the Scream movies is really aggressive.
Scary
it's quite
shit.
Violent.
Yeah.
It's really intense. So you get scared because it's like, oh, fuck, getting stabbed is goddamn horrible.
Holy shit.
You know?
I'm starting to think I don't want to get stabbed a bunch
of
times.
So you don't really feel a lot of threat here or tense. They throw jump scares at you.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That are entirely unmemorable. I can't even think of one. I just know they were there.
Yeah.
And they didn't. I didn't get caught off guard by any of them, which is a bummer. I like getting a little jump scare. It's good.
I got a jump scare from Creepshow, which I've seen a number of times.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. It's always fun.
Yeah. That's good when a jump scare that you kind of know is coming.
Yeah.
It still gets you.
Yeah.
I think Jaws might be the best for that.
Oh, so good.
The head in the boat.
Yeah.
It's just...
Yeah, it's always unsettling. It's always like...
Yeah. So great. I think this is great. I'm glad this movie's making money.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that they put it out and they're having a good hard run at like making horror fun again.
Yeah, with this and it.
Because I think this is a fun movie. Like, none of these movies are not even remotely alike, except... we've got this year, really big, obviously, It was the huge monster moneymaker this year. You've got this going on and Get Out.
Yeah.
And these are horror movies that have a sense of humor about them and a sense of style.
Yeah.
And that's great. If this is a trend for horror for a little while, then fucking dynamite.
It sounds like the key thread between those very disparate movies is that they feel very like... crowd pleasing kind of movies. Like Get Out sends you on like a really great crazy like scary thing, but at the end of the movie there's a lot of release.
Yeah.
And same with It, it's like there's a lot of like release to the horror and laughing, and then also it sends you out like and it maybe this movie is doing similar things because it's kind of breezy. Yeah.
So yeah, I don't know. It isn't. It's definitely the worst of those three movies.
it just sounds like because I feel like we had Final Girls, which was like a PG-13, 14A horror movie that was doing kind of like that movie was more effective, it sounds, in its like hook. And this movie, is it just like coasting on the like Groundhog Day thing?
Yeah. It is. And it just, and again, there's not a single kill in this movie that where you go, oh shit.
Yeah.
And you need that.
Yeah.
For these things to work, you really need that. So, and, you know, the central girl, she does a fine job. She's got a carry. Yeah. She's in every scene.
Mm-hmm.
Every single scene.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of work. That's hard. And to make this kind of, like, lighter stuff work, I guess, I don't know. I have to give her some credit.
Mm-hmm.
Even though she's not amazing or something and doesn't make this a great movie, that's a hard fucking job. And she does a pretty good job.
Totally.
I don't know.
So it was like, did its job.
Watch it on Netflix. Yeah. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's not very good, but you'll like it.
It's not very good. You'll like it.
Yeah. If it came out in the 80s, you would like it.
Yeah.
If this is an old VHS movie that you found, you'd be like wicked. Yeah. And cool.
Yeah.
I
makes
say that
sense.
To myself in the mirror every morning.
Wicked. Yeah. That's cool. Yeah. There's incredibly dumb things that happen in it. There's a lot that doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. It really feels like, from the sounds of it, like the things that need to work in a movie, like that you can overlook it for fun, but like to a certain point, and then it's like, well, either the Groundhog Day thing needs a really great hook to it, or I need like a great center to it, or I need the kills. It just sounds like they didn't fill the cracks in with like the things you need to propel it.
Right. Which now I was thinking, man, this movie's making a lot of money. That's kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Because it's a closed story. But then I was like, I wouldn't be surprised if there's a sequel to this and it's just somebody else is having the day now.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm game for that.
Yeah,
fine. And maybe somebody can then through repetition start to find, ooh, just like the movie.
Yeah.
for the listener, find out how to do it right.
You know, like you'll eventually get there.
Yeah.
We'll see. I don't know.
Oh, Happy Death Day. Check it out eventually.
On Netflix.
Yeah.
And don't expect stuff.
Yeah.
Just put it on and let it happen in front of you.
Yeah.
Have I think this was a debut film, right, from the director. So I don't think they've done anything else. Maybe they have a bright future.
Maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Who knows?
There wasn't really anything special about the direction.
Okay. Well, maybe not then.
Yeah.
So Happy Death Day is a maybe. Check it out if you want.
Yep.
Casey, what did you watch?
Well, I did not get out of the house for this one because very busy.
Yeah, that's how I knew you didn't see the same thing as me. I'm like, there's no way in all this moving and daycare bonanza, he's like, out to the theater to see Happy Death Day.
Yes. Hey, family, see you later.
Yeah.
Peace.
I mean, how it turns out.
Yeah.
I'm making my departure.
Yeah.
I farted right on my son's head, and I was like, peace.
See ya.
Luckily, one of my most anticipated movies of the year came out on Netflix.
Mm.
And so I watched a little movie called The Meyerowitz Stories, New and Selected.
Shit. Oh, man. Nice. Good job.
Yeah.
Yes, I did watch that.
That's been...
Please tell me what this is. What's going on?
This is the new Noah Baumbach?
It's the new Noah Baumbach. Ah, guys, brain no work.
Yeah.
Okay, here we go. New Noah Baumbach. An estranged family gathers together in New York for an event celebrating the artistic work of their father.
Yeah.
I was reading that, by the way.
Yes.
Just come over.
You don't have to tell people you're reading that.
Okay.
I prefer you tell me you're reading that.
FYI, I was reading that.
Written and directed by Noah Baumbach, expressly for Netflix, I believe.
Yeah.
So this movie stars Adam Sandler, Ben Stiller, Dustin Hoffman, Grace Van Patten. Dick Van Patten, no.
Emma Thompson. Candace Bergen.
Burgie's up in there. Hirsch. Rebecca Miller.
Judd Hirsch, awesome.
Yes. So this movie is amazing.
Nice. Good. I've been like hovering
on it. Holy shit.
But I keep looking at it and being like, I so want to see this movie, but then I'm like, but it's October. I should only be watching horror movies.
Totally. Yeah.
I had a thing where, you know, I didn't have a lot of time to do anything, so I had to really make it count, and then this came out, and I was like, oh my God, it's perfect. Guys, it's so good.
Yeah.
This is definitely my favorite Noah Baumbach movie since Greenberg.
Nice.
And I fucking love Greenberg.
Yeah.
It's just the story of how you either follow or you don't follow in your father's footsteps, and what does that, you know, what does he think of you as a result of both choices? And also what does it matter? And also, you know, because, you know, he's his own, you know, terrible human being. Mm-hmm. Dustin Hoffman is nothing short of fucking genius in this.
Mm-hmm.
But if I didn't call out Dustin Hoffman for his brilliant performance in this, I would definitely give best performance in this to Adam Sandler.
Nice.
That's what people are saying, right? There was so much hype about his performance in this.
It's fucking wonderful.
Yeah.
Like, he plays a really complex person. Everybody plays a really... Like, it's almost sad that Adam Sandler gets so much attention because he does so many terrible movies, and then every once in a while you go, holy shit, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Because Ben Stiller is fucking brilliant in this movie, too. Mm-hmm. And I can't remember who plays their sister, but she's fucking wonderful as well. It's just...
How's Emma Thompson?
She's great. She does a really good job. She just... And it's not that she doesn't have a lot to do. It's just her character is great for what her character is supposed to be, kind of thing. It's so beautifully written. It has this beautiful poetry. Like, you know how Noah Baumbach really skirts the line between just doing a really kind of conversational thing and it being very stringently written.
Yeah.
And performed, like, not in like a mammoth kind of a way, but almost, because
yeah, I know,
like,
what you
there's
mean.
Not like a rhythm to it, but there is definitely a timing to everything.
Yeah.
There are scenes in this that should be absolutely studied. There's a restaurant scene between Dustin Hoffman and Ben Stiller, where, you know, Ben Stiller is trying to connect with his father, and his father is, you know, he's a very evasive, emotionally evasive man, and he's just everything Ben Stiller is trying to do, he's just batting it away and just being this obstinate fucking asshole. And you really see how his character informs the character of his children and how they react to everything. And I don't want to talk too much about it, because I think talking about this movie is probably quite infuriating to listen to, because it's just something that you have to experience. But it is definitely in my top five movies of the year.
It's crazy that, like, like what you were saying about Sandler, you know, it reminds me of, like, Nick Cage, you know, like every once in a while he'll do something just so perfect. And it's just, it's frustrating, but also amazing. Because it's like, you can go do whatever fucking bullshit movie you want and then be like, whatever, every 10 years I'll fucking knock a grand slam just to show you I can.
Yeah. And in that respect, the larger sense of his career is itself a fascinating thing to watch.
But then you're like, but if you're this awesome, maybe he has to have the time. Maybe, like, he needs to pick that one role that he knows is the perfect role in order to do that.
Adam Sandler?
Yeah.
I think he just likes wearing sweatpants. You know, like, I think he just is like a guy who's just like, I'll just fucking do this thing. I like doing this thing. I like going on vacation with my friends and making a movie, so I'll just fucking do it.
Yeah.
I guess I got no problem. Like, I don't love Adam Sandler's movies or anything, but I got no problem with what he does.
Yeah.
But this is, oh man, because he almost plays this guy who's not even there.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's not this big, and not in a Punch Drunk Love kind of a way either.
Yeah.
Where, like, there's serious mental problems and stuff.
Yeah.
Like he's just this guy who's just a guy, and maybe he could have done something, but, you know, it's okay. Don't worry. It's okay. Don't worry. Mm-hmm. Like, oh God, it's so fucking good. Such a good movie.
Sweet.
And I'll watch this movie. This movie is a movie that you can definitely watch again and again, because you're like, because there are so many little things.
Yeah.
And you're like, well, I get what the sunglasses are, and I get what this is and this is, but there's these all these tiny little connections that are just fucking, it's just amazing. Yeah.
I'm happy that it's that good.
Yeah.
I gotta watch it. And so the name of that movie was
The Meyerowitz Stories, New and Selected.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, I gotta watch that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Totally.
Yeah, you do.
Oh, man. Hey. Speaking of
wonderful,
beautiful, you know, beautifully written films that take you on a journey and really get you into the mind and emotional core of its characters, I watched a movie. I watched a film from 1995.
A movie film
called Werewolf.
It's a good title.
It's a good title. And it has a. Has
I know
a,
what this movie is about.
It's a weird. Yeah, it's a vampire movie. It's got a great cover, you know, that does the Greg thing, which is it has a guy on it that's going. Oh! Directed by Tony Zarendast.
Tony.
It's Zarendast.
Doing my best.
Tony B. Zarendast. Yeah. Am I right?
So this
get Zarendast.
I think this was the title. This was the synopsis I tried to read last episode. They just kept going on and on. But I'm gonna read it in its entirety here, just to let you know.
Okay.
Oh, Jesus, it's long.
It's long. A team of archaeologists with unplaceable accents unearth a skeleton at a dig in an Arizona quarry. Already, this is written by someone with a little bit of a wink. The Native Americans on the dig instantly recognize it as the remains of a werewolf. So the team leaders immediately...
Instantly. Werewolf.
Hey, yeah. It's a werewolf.
And then, the team
that
leaders...
That thing's a werewolf, or I'm not Native American.
Yeah. And then the team leaders immediately take it to their lab and stare at it. Somebody had some fun with this synopsis. They're already funnier about this movie than me, than I will be. Natalie, one of the team members, thinks it's absolutely fascinating, but Yuri seizes on greater ambitions when one of the dig assistants who injured themselves on the remains becomes infected and turns into a werewolf in full view of hospital personnel.
Oh.
Yuri then conducts an experiment infecting other people in town to see if they turn into werewolves as well. Mm-hmm. When Paul arrives at the lab to assist in analyzing the remains, Yuri infects him too. After Paul's transformation under a week-long full moon, Natalie tries to save him. This is 1.6 out of 5 on Letterboxd right now.
I feel like I just saw
you
the movie.
You saw that movie. Yeah. Starring Joe Estevez and Richard Lynch in the mid-90s, so you know this is quality. Because Joe Estevez only did great movies in 95 to 96, a.k.a. Roller Gator.
This was his Apocalypse Now.
Yeah. So this was on Mystery Science Theater. I think I maybe saw the MST3K version a number of years ago at on a Turkey Day marathon, but I don't have much recollection of it.
Yeah.
Because this movie is unbelievably bad. It is so boring. The effects are terrible. Nothing happens. It's so dumb. Even the cat's like, over here. It's so... That was a good synopsis because it takes you pretty far into the movie.
Yeah.
And did my job for me. Yeah, so at the beginning
did
of the movie...
Did you actually watch this movie
did
you just read that?
So yeah, it's about archaeologists, I guess. And no, they're like digging stuff up and there's, again, these Native Americans who are like doing all the work for like Richard Lynch, and Joe Estevez is there. And the just like the hook of the movie, as the synopsis mentioned, is like, for some reason, people that cut themselves on the werewolf remains, that's how it all starts happening.
Right.
And kind of like other people cut themselves on it and get turned into werewolves. It's like really like they don't explain why that's happening or why that's like the hook to the werewolfness here. But then they also have
or
the
why
werewolf.
Everybody keeps tripping.
Yeah. Or why
themselves on the thing.
I'm watching this. So they take the guy that gets cut to the hospital. And so he's starting to kind of get turned into a werewolf. So there's so many people in this movie. There's Yuri, Tommy, Joel, Bill, Noel.
Phil. Goal.
Paul.
Drill.
Steve.
Natalie. There's just a million
Kevin.
Characters, and I don't give a fuck about any of them.
Barry.
And they're all so confusing and interchangeable. And long stretches of the movie will go by where you're like, who is this? Oh, okay, this is this guy. And then why is that guy coming back again? Like,
and where's Joel?
And where's Natalie? There's just a lot of characters just showing up when the scene needs them, and then you never see them again, and then like half hour later they're back again. Like, there's just nothing has any momentum. It's all extremely boringly directed. It's just like people standing around trying to make up enough lines to get the scene to go long enough so they can call
cut.
Oh,
that's the worst.
It's the worst. And then when there is a werewolf going around, it's so like...
That's what
like,
my Dracula 3000 was like. There was a lot of just like, well, we...
Yeah, we're here.
Yeah,
and,
yeah. We don't have a lot of stuff to fill this movie out.
Yeah.
We better say a bunch of Dracula stuff.
Yeah. So
we have to say 3,000 Dracula things.
Yeah. Go. So the Tommy guy turns into a werewolf at the hospital, and he runs around. He like runs around and like kills some people, and eventually they shoot him with silver bullets. It's all extremely boring. It's just him going like, running around. Then we see this guy. His name's Paul. He's a writer. He's like shows up in this house because he's gonna take up residence and write in this house. And you find out that he's been invited because he's going to like publicize about this werewolf that they found and dug up and turned somebody into a werewolf. And so they're like, hey, come and write about us. And then he meets Natalie and he's like, I guess this is my romantic interest. And so then the Yuri guy, who I will scroll back to remember, it was Yuri was played by somebody that I don't know. It's not Richard Lynch or Joe Estevez, but he like they kind of like kick him out of the party. And so then he becomes one of the bad dudes. And he's like, I'm going to go and make this security guard become
go have
a werewolf.
My own werewolf party.
Yeah. He goes and makes this security guard turn into a werewolf. And then this is the funniest part of the movie is the werewolf run, the security guard werewolf runs away and then gets in a car and starts driving around. And then at the end of that scene, he's like, oh, driving around. And then he just flips the car and blows up.
Yeah, great.
And I was like, okay, this is good. Then we go to the lab and Yuri attacks some people. And then Paul is good. The writer guy is going to become a werewolf. And his love interest, Natalie, is trying to figure out and what's going on and make him calm down. And there's this big thing where whenever somebody turns into a werewolf, it's dragged on forever. There's even a scene in this movie where the guy's going to turn into a werewolf and he's like on his bed, like going like, and we keep getting all these shots like panning up to him from across the room and shit, like he's going to turn into a werewolf. And he just goes, and then like he doesn't,
he
and
just burps.
And Natalie shows up, and then they like have coffee.
Guys, I pooped.
Yeah,
that's like, why I was cranky
in the middle of it.
There's and good news and bad news. Good news, I'm not a werewolf.
Yeah.
Bad news, pooped in the bed.
Yeah. It goes on forever, and then she shows up, and they're like, anyway, so what's going on here? Oh, well, I was just in the middle of transforming, but I'm not going to now, I guess. Anyway, see you later. It's fucking ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he finally turns into a werewolf. He's running around the streets, trying to kill people and stuff. They decide that they might take Paul and turn him into a freak show, and that makes his love interest Natalie really mad because she doesn't want that to happen. So then we start running around, and they're trying to get Paul. So like it becomes basically the end of the movie is Paul's running around and he's a werewolf. His love interest Natalie has to find him before the other two dudes who want to turn him into like a King Kong like exhibition thing. And it's fucking boring.
Yeah.
So finally.
Yeah, that part, the thing you just said about the freak show and everything.
Yeah.
That's stupid.
It's dumb. And so they get, they run into the desert and Yuri gets killed by Paul. And then Natalie arrives and sees that Yuri's dead. And she's like, where's Paul? Oh, no, I guess I got to get out of here. And so then we have this extremely long thing at the end of the movie, which is a really long shot of her coming home to Paul's house. And again, we don't know where he is right now. And so we get like a shot of her legs walking up the stairs for like 5 minutes. And then we get like, it's like a really dark room and it like pans up to her and you can't see her face. You just see her hair and it's really big hair for some reason. I wonder why they wouldn't be showing her face and be really like not. And then she walks around and you don't see her in the face. And she turns around to the camera and her face is still dark. But then somebody else shows up and it kind of looks like Paul. And then they bring up the light on her face and they're both werewolves and they hold their hand and then the movie fades.
Hold hands.
Yeah, it's like basically they like cuddle and they're like to the camera. And it's like, we're both werewolves.
Oh, my God.
And that's the end of the movie. And
that's amazing.
And I.
Sequel.
That Yeah, please. That was an attempt to talk about that movie.
See,
and
just an
that
hour
was
and a
more
hardcore werewolf. Yeah, okay.
That made more sense than the movie itself.
Yeah, okay.
And the movie is just like walking around and talking and boring. And the werewolf effects are like, it's just terrible. They just put a bunch of crap on somebody's face and like glued it on and like it never looks right. And they're just like, it's terrible. The only redeeming thing about this movie that got it, it's one star from me on Letterboxd, was the fact that the werewolf got in a car and drove around and then crashed it.
That is fucking awesome.
That was
the way
only
I'm
thing.
That's
it.
Pretty good.
He's driving hilariously.
Yeah, wow. This is like bottom of the barrel. Like I can only, like I know I've seen the Mystery Science, but I can't remember jokes. But it's got to be one of those like Manos Hands of Fate things where it's just like, this is dreadful. How we got to work to make this funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not good.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrific.
Oh, and the two leads, the romantic lead and the werewolf lead, both have really thick accents. And that's why they say like, werewolf, warwolf. They keep saying it weird. They keep saying everything weird.
Amazing.
So it's kind of funny for that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrible. Don't watch Werewolf unless you're going to watch the Mystery Science Theater version.
Yeah.
It was
okay.
Not good.
Great.
So, those are our three movies. Greg.
Yeah.
You gave us an album.
I did.
Tell us about why and what.
Because I heard this song on the radio and I was like, this song's horrible.
What song was it?
Congratulations?
Do you know? Okay.
Or something? Yes?
Okay.
good for you.
Something good for you.
Thumbs up, buddy.
Yeah, congratulations. And I Shazammed it and was like, what the fuck? And I heard it a few times on the radio, and I thought it was just horrible. And I think this guy has silly hair. And
oh, yeah.
I really thought Casey would hate this record.
You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I've only heard the one song. Maybe the rest is terrific.
So
I feel like you should have to have looked at his hair while you listen to the album.
Yeah. Pretty good.
Yeah.
Pretty good hair. Yeah. I was wondering if maybe it was the song White Iverson, which I guess was like a big hit single from him.
Nope. Congratulations.
So this is Post Malone's album Stony.
Stony.
Oh, man. This album's so stony, bro. Yeah. I'm going to let Casey take the reins here and start talking about it, because I really want to know what you thought based on Greg's issuing of it to us.
I don't understand why this exists. I don't understand, although I never actually looked at the titles
the
and stuff like that while I was listening to it, because I was listening to it in the car. And there was the third song where I was like, oh, this guy really sounds like Justin Bieber.
Mm-hmm.
It turns out Justin Bieber's on that song.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Is he?
Yeah.
Yeah. And so you guys had both never heard of Post Malone, and I'd heard the name. I did do a bit of reading. I read one of the reviews for this, for one of, I think maybe his mixtape on Pitchfork, where they did mention a little bit about there was, I guess, some questioning about Post Malone concerning, like, I guess he's one of those artists who had, like, the beginning of a career that didn't take off as, like, a regular, like, pop musician, or, like, he was, like, a guitar player and doing, like, acoustic covers and, like, gained notoriety and then kind of, like, made the switch to rap and... Yeah. Made the switch.
If this album's any indication, he did not.
Yeah.
It just really sounds like a scumbag who... like it sounds like a scumbag trying to be sexy.
Yeah.
But also he doesn't know what a melody is, and also he's
very sexy.
Yeah. This is this
oh,
we're looking
no,
at
I
a
feel
photo
bad
here.
For him.
this album is like an entry into something that we've touched upon, this kind of popular rap style a little bit. Like, I know we did that Ray Sremmurd album, which which was like kind of a mainstream party rap thing.
What is going on here, buddy?
Yeah,
what are you doing?
I think he just got back from the Dominican Republic.
Oh, I see. And he didn't know how to say no to someone on the beach.
Yeah exactly.
They,
he did.
They did his hair.
The person was. He said no, thank you, but. They didn't understand English, so they just did it anyway.
Yeah.
And he looked in the mirror, and he was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
I look like a real piece of shit.
Oh, he's got golden teeth, too.
I look like a little young lady that just got back from Disneyland or so, like from Florida. And they got it. Wow, we were there. We got our hair done in a little rose.
He got his hair did.
Yeah.
I didn't mean to cut you off there, Dan. I know you were saying.
No, so, like, I know, like, we've. Not that this is anything like that Ray Sremmurd thing, but there's this kind of rap right now that is very
shitty.
I didn't mind that
Drake's
Ray Sremmurd.
Fault.
Yeah, that's what it's very Drake. It's very like repetitive, minimal beats. There's not really like
it's
a
like,
hook.
It's
just
and I'm
the
not
repetition.
Really singing. But I'm singing, my voice is going up and down.
He does this thing where he does like the little vibrato to everyone. He's like,
oh, that's unfortunate. But it's not like I didn't want to like kick this album in the face. I was just like,
no.
I guess I just kind of felt bad for it for a little while. Yeah. And I was like, now I'm bored and I'm going to go home.
This album's boring. I definitely was like, this is not for me, but I don't hate it. I just don't care. It like, I would say. Of this kind of music, I felt like there was in the production a little bit more atmosphere and like kind of just letting to its maybe detriment, just letting things be like this is just a kind of loose little beat with some like a lot of echo and a little guitar here. And we're just going to have him kind of like vibe over it and just
but
do
just
whatever.
Seems, it just seems like the whole point of that song is the echo part.
Yeah.
And then the rest of it is nothing.
Yeah.
Like literally absolutely nothing.
Yeah. But for a moment.
But then there's a bunch of echo and you're like, so I guess that sounds like a choice.
I definitely felt like there was a minute where I thought, well, this isn't terrible garbage. This is just like not great. They've made a choice. It's not a great choice, but like whatever. And but the fact that the album's so long and the fact that every song is the same. And
I didn't feel like anybody made any choices on this.
I don't know. There was something to the atmosphere of the album where I was like, I could see this being good, but it's not.
Yeah,
because sometimes this kind of rap will do it for me. Like I didn't hate every, like some of that Ray Schremer album was kind of fun, and this seems like more of this, like we're gonna take those triplets and those like kind of, you know, airy beats and we're gonna make it like the stoner version of it. But it just didn't, it just was too boring. If there was like a hook there in something, or if there was lyrics that I gave a shit about, I could have maybe got on board with it.
I love in the first song, he says, like, he drinks his whiskey from a broken whiskey glass, blah, blah, smoke my share of grass.
Yeah.
Like, grass? Oh. What are you, a science teacher? Fucking, you're like a narc. Posing as a science teacher. Hey, are you students going to smoke some grass?
Yeah. It's very like every song is about like, oh, like I drink or I smoke or like the love the ladies. It's just all very like posture-y kind of stuff. Like if there
but
had
it's,
been
but
something
it,
to it.
It's so like it seems like the negative effects of those things. I drink a lot, and then I smoke a lot, and I get a little self-conscious.
Look at
and I'm
my
not
hair now.
Good.
Yeah, what
Jesus
happened
Christ.
Here?
Yeah. I fucked up.
Yeah. I just found it very boring and very bland.
It's terrific.
Yeah.
Good.
No.
No.
No. And final note, when I read that, like, that White Iverson was a big hit and that congratulations song was a big hit, I was just very like, really? Like, there's nothing, like, there's no hook, there's nothing to grab, there's, I, like, just
grab
it was,
that hair.
It, like, at least, like,
grab him by his teeth.
Yeah, like, Drake is, like, Hotline Bling had, like, a hook, like,
hook
a melody to, like,
there, how does that one go?
Call me on that Hotline Bling.
Oh, call that's that one?
That's the
call me on my cell phone.
Yeah.
Call me on my cell phone.
Why did he not, why did they not record that when he was... less sleepy. It's like they just woke him up. I was like, sing the song. He's like, what? You just call me on my cell phone?
I don't want to sing
but
the song. Call
the,
me on my cell phone when I wake up.
He's call me on my cell phone. All
right, we'll just sample that. Because like, that's like, I guess, what's going on right now. They got like that little sleepy vibe, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
It's, but it's so, it, like.
Because this album's like that, too, which is very,
I
like,
heard this great, because Matt Besser's been doing the rounds on podcasts lately, because he's promoting a show.
His little musical?
Yeah, his little musical show.
His little musical.
And I love Matt Besser so much, because I love his, I love how much he cares about improv and about performed comedy. And he was just talking about how much he fucking hates it when he sees, like, a comedy show where people just get up and, like, part of their joke is that they're like, whatever, I'm not even taking this seriously. Just I'm in on the joke kind of thing because I don't even fucking care about this.
It's like, you're not wrong at all. That's totally
like, that's what this seems like. It feels like
I think there's a big thing in music now. Everyone's like, well, I didn't really try hard.
I don't even fucking care.
Hard for idiots.
I don't even fucking, I don't need consonants. Whatever, I don't care if this is good or not.
I was having this very conversation with a friend of mine a little while ago, just talking about the kind of like, well, I didn't even try and it's good, well, great, or I didn't even try, like, so that's why it sucks.
Like, it's supposed to suck, it's postmodern. I just don't have any time for it. I don't care about it. There's great music being made still, there's always going to be great music made, and so stuff like this can just fall by the wayside.
So I get to give you guys a punishment.
You do.
Speaking of trying very hard for something, I'm gonna give you guys an album that I've been waiting for a long time to give you, and it's Halloween and it's October, and this is the perfect time. I'm excited that this is when I get to give you guys this album. It's an album that I like, but I feel like I need to get ahead of giving this album and potentially having people in the world that listen to this show listening to this album and then having some very strong opinions. We're going to need like a content warning on this album. Like, I'm giving you guys a record called The South Park Psycho by a rapper named Gangsta N.I.P. This is from 1992. This is
everything like, about that confuses me.
This is like the one of the seminal horrorcore albums. Like, this was one of the first albums to go so far in its like disgusting lyrics that it like almost in part created the genre of that, like, I'm just going to be disgusting.
Yeah.
And I really have a lot of time for a lot of this record, but again, fully admit putting this out there that like there is some stuff on this record that is fucking disgusting.
What's the album called?
It's called The South Park Psycho
by the Notorious N.I.P.
Yeah, so it's Gangsta N.I.P. G-A-N-K-S-T-A.
With a K. Yeah, there's a couple different Gangsta Nips on here.
Yeah, he's got a bunch of different versions of spelling his name.
Guys, in this shirt, can you see my Gangsta Nips?
Yeah. Yeah, so
what he's thinking with that name.
Yeah, the first chunk of this album.
And he's not wearing a shirt on this album cover.
No, but his stomach is the parental advisory sticker. So, the reason why
what's going on here?
The reason why I'm giving you guys
Gangsta.
I'm giving you this record because the first real song in this album is called Horror Movie Rap. I think we may have even discussed it a few years ago.
About this. Is his face on the front of the album.
Gangsta Nip, are you pooping?
Yeah.
Buddy, are you having a poop?
Are you, it's okay if you are Gangsta Nip.
Yeah.
No.
So,
I can't stop doing it. I'm sure he'll tell us something eventually.
Yeah.
What is the big red thing next to him on this album cover?
I don't know.
I keep on thinking it's a kitty, but it's not a kitty.
No.
What's happening there?
So the first half of this album I have a lot of time for. I admit that as you listen to it, you get worn down by it. But the thing about, well, the reason why I segued into this record with the trying hard thing is his lyrics are so over the top to the point where like he's trying so hard to find creative fucked up things to say that it becomes unbelievably funny sometimes, most of the time. There are some songs later on the album where I'm like, well, this is just offensive. But like he's talking about like, oh, I drowned in a dead turtle's head. And like all the, you're just like, there's a line in this album where he's like, my 12 daughters died for talking shit to a tractor. And you're like, what the fuck does that even mean?
Yeah. That's awesome. That sounds like something.
Listen,
Old Dirty Bastard.
Yeah, you're going to come out of this. You're going to come away from this, I hope.
Old Dirty Bastard. Yeah, I am a 40-year-old white man.
Old Dirty Bastard. Yeah. My hope is that you'll come out of this at the very least enjoying some of the really ridiculous rhymes that he has. And then you'll be like, yeah. And then the album went on and I got kind of bored with it. Whenever I listen to this, I always end up turning it off like halfway through. But those first few songs, Horror Movie Rap, is just a cornucopia of a hilarious, dumb horror movie, horror rap. He's like, mad at midnight, my blood turns hot pink. And you're like, why is that thing? I don't understand.
But that's awesome.
Yeah. I'm excited for you guys to listen to this. And maybe we can talk about some of the most ridiculous lines from some of these songs next week.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of...
this is a good one.
Horror Movie Rap is at the very least worth just giving you the whole album for.
Oh, yeah.
So
I love it. I can't stop looking at his face on this album cover. He's Gangsta Nip, the pouting rapper.
Oh,
the
man.
Water rap.
Look at man. His stomach is the parental advisory sticker. He's just churning out parental advisory lyrics from his gut. Yeah. Yeah, so this is on Rap-A-Lot Records.
But he's wearing a lanyard.
Yeah, why not?
I don't understand why.
Yeah, so check it out. Next week, we'll talk about it.
Yep.
Next week, we'll talk about South Park Psycho, and we'll talk about the movies that we're going to roll for.
Yeah.
So this week's a big one.
It is.
It's a biggie.
Not a big roll.
No.
But a big week for us.
That's right.
It's the most wonderful time of year.
Halloween.
Hurl-a-whirl. Hurl-a-looyah.
Yeah.
It's time for another Madea Halloween movie. Number two.
Boo 2.
And we have become like, we've gone from let's pick these movies because they must be terrible to let's legitimately enjoy seeing these movies.
Well, I saw a bunch of Madea movies in a row, and they're just fucking nuts.
Yeah, they're nuts. Like, they're actively fucking insane.
Yeah. But awesome.
You guys have the Christmas one. Yeah. You guys haven't
I've seen it
yet, right?
I saw Christmas.
Not yet.
I don't think
not
we talked
Christmas
about it.
Yet, Greg.
This Christmas, all three of us, maybe together,
this
talking
Christmas.
About
this Christmas.
Day of Christmas. Oh, what? Last year's Boo? We did it at the live show we did. Yeah. And I guess it was a big enough hit that they're like, make more. And he was like, I already did.
I've already made eight.
Yeah.
I made them yesterday.
Yeah. So, much like a Star Wars movie,
we're
all going.
All
going
to go see it.
This has become our anti-Star Wars.
That's right.
Yeah. Every year.
Yep.
And
we,
the
we watch a new Boo.
The roller will be for
this,
the loser.
This Halloween, Terror has a new Boo.
Yeah. And we were a little disappointed with the Halloween one not having like actual monsters and stuff last year. And I feel like maybe this year we'll get the kind of spooky.
Oh, you don't think it's going to be a morality play at the end where everybody learns that Jesus is the one true way?
I don't know, but I'm really hoping that there's more than just like there's a frat party next door.
Yeah.
I hope there's like some like because
sure there'll be
temper your expectations.
Weird weed and the prostitution references.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So we're all going to go see that.
Yep.
And then the person who rolls low will be watching the loser film as well.
Right. Yes.
And what did we pick for the loser?
We didn't. But listen, man, after you were having a little conversation about some stuff with us.
Yeah.
I just was curious and I was slipping around and I was like, what's the lowest rated Amityville horror film?
I think I know.
And I found this one from 2013 that fits right in with our theme of yelling movie posters.
Oh, Amityville. Hey! Amityville Asylum.
You know what's a lot of fun is that the mouth says yelling, but the eyes say, hey.
And this looks like it's one of those nobody owns the name Amityville, so I'll just make a movie that has the word Amityville in it.
Yeah. Yep, that's right.
Amityville
2.9 or something.
Asylum.
Or
okay, let's do it.
Why not?
2014.
Mm-hmm.
Lisa begins working at a mental institution and quickly realizes all is not what it seems.
Whoa.
Wow. Sounds insensitive. At the very least.
Yeah.
Yeah, that cover. Oh, I'm a skull, but also a little doll.
And someone shot
me and I lost my teeth. And the tagline I love, kill them. Kill them all.
All right.
Okay.
Copy that, movie.
Yes.
I will.
All right. Wonderful.
Thank you.
So I guess Madea's the winning movie.
That's
also.
That's right. Yeah. We're going to have a nice week.
What's happened to my life, I wonder?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So who's rolling first to see who gets the losing roll? I guess I will.
Yeah.
Nobody grabbed it. All right. I'm rolling for Amityville. A yes or no on Amityville. That's a 3. Casey's rolling.
This is me, Casey, rolling.
He was reading that.
I rolled
as well.
A 4.
You were reading that off of paper. Greg's got to get...
I've scripted everything.
A 2. Oh, Greg is watching Amityville Asylum.
Good work,
and
buddy.
Halloween Boo-tacular.
Okay.
Part 2. Wonderful. Next week, we will talk about the new Madea Halloween film, Amityville Asylum, the South Park Psycho album by Gangsta Nip.
Oh, my God.
And... we will.
I don't want to rap about Halloween.
Also talk about lots of other stuff. As always, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter at SYNWPC. You can let us know what you think on iTunes. Hit up modernsuperior.com. Listen to A Frame Apart. Listen to After All. Listen to Changing Reels. Surface Noise. Lots of stuff that you can listen to on modernsuperior.com. And hit us up on the Patreon. $2. Come into the Slack. You can hang out. Listen to the Patreon episodes.
Ask us questions that we'll answer. Like we're going to do in an upcoming episode right now.
Yeah. Lots of fun.
There's all kinds of things. Casey watches Bond movies.
Yeah.
We watch AFI films and talk about them.
Dan constantly posts pictures of his butthole.
Yep.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Only behind there.
Yeah. Yep.
So do that. Hit us up on the internet, and we will see you next Wednesday. As always, internet, goodbye, and don't know what should we do here, guys.
Oh, are you waiting for like a catchphrase
yeah,
or something?
Like say something at the end of the episode.
Oh, oh yeah, we do. Yeah. I haven't been here for a while, so okay. I'm a little rusty.
So you should do something then.
Oh, okay.
We should probably.
I'm making a face.
We should probably.
Yeah, you haven't been here for a while. They can't see you, buddy.
Oh no.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's defart and get out of here.
This episode has been brought to you by the Modern Superior Podcast Network.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.